University all across the country, where he's director of evaluation and research in the Bronx area. And we are looking forward to your presentation on the farmers markets in South Bronx. Are there markets in Bronx?
There are about 20 of them.
Whoa, let's hear about it.
So good morning. I'm very pleased to be here today to discuss the work the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene is doing around farmers markets in economically disadvantaged communities, and to report our findings from a research project that we completed in 2007. Before I begin, here's the requisite disclosure slide. I don't have any.
And I also have no disclosures. No financial. I have no financial.
Except me neither. Exactly. So that said, I'm going to start today by discussing the epidemiology of obesity and diabetes in the South Bronx. Then I'll briefly turn to some New York City Department of Health initiatives targeted at improving physical activity and nutrition that you might or might not be aware of. Then the remainder of my presentation will focus on the study we devised to answer my assistant commissioner's question, does the mere presence of a farmer's market in economically disadvantaged communities improve residents' eating habits? I'll give you findings, what they mean for public health, and then we'll discuss our next steps. So the data on these next few slides come from New York City's Community Health Survey, which is conducted every year among a representative sample of about 10,000 New Yorkers. This map shows the prevalence of obesity in New York City. The darker the orange, the higher the prevalence, and the South Bronx is the deepest of oranges. In fact, if we add together the proportion of folks who are overweight and obese, according to their BMI classifications, a full 70% of South Bronx residents are at an unhealthy weight, compared with 56% of residents of New York City, which, truth be told, isn't all that great either. Similarly, if we look at the prevalence of self-reported diabetes, the South Bronx lights up again, with 14% of residents claiming they've been told by a doctor or other health professional that they have diabetes. So you might have noticed that on those two maps, it wasn't just the South Bronx that lit up in terms of negative health outcomes. And a few years back, folks at the Department of Health noticed that as well. In certain economically disadvantaged neighborhoods in the city, there are consistently higher rates of morbidity and mortality. And as a response to these health inequities, the commissioner created three district public health offices, one in the South Bronx, one in East Central Harlem, and one in North Central Brooklyn. Each office focuses on specific health needs of the communities it serves, and the data that we've just seen shows that all three of these areas are struggling with issues of obesity and diabetes. So we all know that physical activity and a healthful diet are crucial for maintaining a healthy weight and avoiding diabetes, and unfortunately, South Bronx-specific data show challenges in those areas as well. Our children don't get enough physical education in school or anywhere else, and neither do adults, for that matter. And hardly anybody of any age is consuming five or more servings of fruits and vegetables a day. So the Bronx office and the New York City Department of Health overall have been attempting to solve these issues in terms of access and opportunity. That is, access to healthful, available foods and opportunities to get off the couch and exercise. So what have we been doing? I'm going to tear through this list in, 30 seconds, but can feel free to ask questions about any of these programs if I finish with enough time. So we offer free physical activity classes called Shape Up New York throughout the city. We've trained thousands of day school teachers in Spark, which is a recreational activity program for kids. You may have heard that we recently banned trans fats in all New York City restaurants. Any chain restaurant that has more than 15 stores nationwide now is forced or required to post their calories. We've improved school food. We have a healthy bodega initiative where we try to convince corner markets to sell fruits and vegetables, replace whole milk with 1% milk. We have a green cart program where we've created 1,000 special permits to be rolled out over the next 2 years, where vendors can sell only fruits and vegetables in areas that have the most need. And this great program called Health Bucks, which is a program that offers $2 vouchers redeemable at farmers markets for fruits and vegetables only. And there's a great synergy with EBT, electronic benefit transfer, where if a resident or a consumer purchases $5 worth of fruits and vegetables with their EBT card, they get a $2 Health Buck. So $5 yields $7 worth of fresh produce. And just to hammer home the point about the need for fresh fruits and vegetables one last time, the New York City Office of City Planning put together an amazing report about supermarket shortages in the city. And wouldn't you know it, but the neighborhoods with the fewest number of supermarkets per resident just happened to be those three DPHO neighborhoods. So one day in early 2007, my boss turned to me and asked, does the presence of a farmer's market in a low-income neighborhood actually improve residents' eating habits? So why did you want to know this? Well, first, it's an interesting question. But more importantly, in order to assess whether farmers markets constitute a viable intervention point in terms of education, health promotion, etc. So many of the programs that I ran through are population-based, trans fat, calorie labeling. But what's the real reach of farmers markets? Are they boutique markets where, you know, yuppies go to get organic apple pie? Are the people who go there already motivated by health? Or are these markets really representative of a place, an opportunity to increase knowledge and change behavior? So the literature out there shows that the WIC programs, Farmers Market Nutrition Program, and a similar program for seniors, are effective in getting fresh, healthy food into homes that might otherwise go without. But that's not quite the same question. And there's not one study out there that I could find that answered her question specifically. Does the mere presence of a farmers market, if we open it, will residents come and will their eating patterns change? So the South Bronx benefits from an average of 17 to 19 farmers markets that operate between the months of July and November. And those are 17 potential places to collect some data. So with an epistaff of two, myself and my colleague, and then two HRTP interns, over the course of 5 weeks in July and August of 2007, we conducted 421 20-minute interviews with South Bronx residents, half at farmers markets and half at supermarkets. The convenience sample was remarkably similar to the South Bronx residents as a whole. We compared to the census data and the community health survey data in terms of demographics and health outcomes. Interviews were conducted in both English and Spanish and addressed not only that main research question that I've already presented, but also other questions, which included eating habits, comparisons of farmers markets and supermarkets, and nutrition knowledge. So now I'm going to go through some of the main findings pretty quickly. First, very few South Bronx residents are aware of USDA guidelines regarding the number of fruit and vegetable servings a person should eat per day. So the majority suggested two or fewer would be sufficient, and only 14% correctly noted that an individual should eat five or more. So we're not doing all that well in terms of education. To continue stating what should now be obvious to everyone here, given the data that I've just gone through, 4 in 10 people in the South Bronx said it was either impossible or difficult to find fresh, affordable produce in the South Bronx. And this corroborates much of what we already knew. Supermarkets are closing every month, and those that are remaining don't really sell produce of the highest quality. So next, I'm going to answer my boss's question about the presence of a farmer's market and the effect that it might have on residents' eating habits. We use validated questions from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, the CDC's BRFSS, to assess the amount of fruits and vegetables consumed in a day. Using regression model, we adjusted for various demographic variables, as well as potential confounders like receipt of public assistance benefits, to assess whether people who shopped at both supermarkets and farmers' markets ate significantly more produce than those who only shopped at supermarkets. And they did. On average, people who reported they supplemented their supermarket shopping with farmers market produce ate almost one serving more per day. It also makes me happy to report that WIC recipients also reported eating an average of one or more servings per day compared with individuals who don't receive those benefits. So that's some great evidence regarding the benefits of WIC and the FMNP program. We also asked interviewees to rate supermarkets and farmers markets across a variety of factors that might influence shopping habits, including quality, price, and convenience. And this graph displays the percent of respondents who reported that the market, either a farmer's or a super, was excellent or good in terms of the factor being measured. Farmers markets were rated more positively in terms of quality, variety, and price, and cleanliness, while supermarkets fared better in terms of location and hours of operation, which makes sense since most farmers markets in the South Bronx are only open one day a week. We were surprised by the finding that farmers markets were considered to be cheaper than supermarkets. And in a minute, I'll discuss some follow-up research that we just concluded this past summer around this issue. And the last result I'll present today concerns payment methods utilized at these two venues. I discussed earlier the synergy between our Health Bucks program and EBT payments, so we're particularly interested in EBT use at farmers markets versus supermarkets. So as you'd expect, most folks pay with cash. A surprising finding, which to me might be reflective of some kind of misunderstanding on behalf of the participants or some mistake on our part, was that only 4% of interviewees said they paid with WIC coupons at supermarkets, despite the fact that almost 1 in 5 said they used FMNP at farmers markets. So to my knowledge, you can't get FMNP unless you're on WIC, so something fishy going on here. A finding I have much more confidence in, however, is the difference in the proportion of people who use food stamps at supermarkets. So more than a quarter versus the proportion who use them at farmers markets, which is only 8%. So last summer, only half of our farmers markets accepted EBT, so it seems that expanding the number of markets that accept electronic benefit transfer is an easy, if somewhat pricey, way to to increase access to all South Bronx residents. So what did we learn? And I'm going to sneak in some other findings into this recap that I was afraid I wouldn't have time to get to. So farmers markets are an important intervention point in terms of increasing access and consumption of fruits and vegetables. So we saw that farmers market shoppers ate more produce daily, and 60% of those individuals that we interviewed at supermarkets said they also shopped at farmers markets. So this whole idea of boutique or not so much reach for these markets kind of debunked. Farmers markets are rated superior to supermarkets in terms of quality, variety, and cost. So we also assessed during the course of these interviews whether individuals travel to a more distant supermarket to do their supermarket shopping than the one closest to their home, and they said, half did, and they said because of the quality, variety, and cost. So the same reasons that they travel to a more distant supermarket are the things that farmers market do best. I also mentioned that surprising finding about the price thing, that residents felt that farmers markets were cheaper. So this past summer, we conducted, over the course of 8 weeks, a formal price comparison of 12 different fruits and vegetables, comparing the prices, like I said, over the two-month period at 3 farmers markets and 6 supermarkets. So we'll have those results hopefully published shortly. Kind of a sneak peek, there's really no difference at all. Yep, no problem. To increase reach, promotion is key. 3/4 of people that we interviewed at farmers markets learned about the markets just by passing by or from their WIC center when they went to sign up for the FMNP program. So there's really no promotion at all. In terms of advertising at all. And we should also expand payment options. So as I mentioned, only half of farmers markets in the South Bronx accepted EBT last year. We should make that more. We should also increase the number of health bucks distributed in the DPHO area. So last summer we distributed about 25,000. This summer about, I think we're at 40,000, and last summer 75% were redeemed. So we actually are making somewhat of an impact with the health bucks program. So lastly, limitations was a convenience sample, but as I mentioned, it was matched well to the census and CHS figures. Possible critique is that supermarkets that we assessed were too close to farmers markets. So maybe, you know, someone that doesn't live so close to a farmers market, or, you know, there might have been some overlap. If you have to walk past a farmers market to get to a supermarket, you happen to see it. So okay, cut that number in half. It's still 1/3 of South Bronx residents are shopping at farmers markets. So the reach isn't small. And the public assistance data, that kind of confusing finding about WIC versus FMNP, maybe we could have collected that better. I don't really have a response to that. That's probably true. We probably messed up there a little bit. At the DPHOs, we feel that it's our job, our duty, to disseminate this information to the community. So we published in July a community report, which kind of gets into more of these details, these research findings, in a way that's palatable to the lay folks. So I brought a whole bunch. If you want to pick one up at the end, feel free. And that's it. Thanks so much.
Evaluation data, first to get the market there, but then to know what's going on. Last year, mostly we were hearing about the struggles to get the market there, so it's really neat to know that they've hired someone to do the research and do the evaluation, and congratulations, you did a great project. We're going to go right on, though, to Dr. Topra.